Thank you. Thank you. your summer?
Hot.
Yeah.
Hot, kind of like northeast monsoon season.
Yeah, I know. Like the extremes.
We were drowned last year.
I know. Well, that, for last year, I got flooded. I live in Moravia.
Yes.
And twice. First in July, like the beginning of July, and then 2 weeks later.
It's where the heavy clouds were.
Yep.
And then at a point in time.
It was bad. I had 2.5 feet of water in my basement the first time. Rinsed out my water heater, replaced it, had it for 1 week, and then the next week it flooded again and went up 1.5 feet.
Oh,
and I had to replace a part of it. I didn't have to replace the whole thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my furnace, I had a lot of damage and had to repair that.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, not a drop. Moisture.
Rain on you this time.
No. Well, I mean, we're getting rain, but not the flooding. So yeah.
That's what I mean. I had a friend of time on that. Had 8 inches up this year. Didn't get it.
Wow.
You're all set with your audio. I got an HDMI. So
I don't know if anybody's.
I got the mics ready. We're just about ready to put them on.
Yeah, perfect. This is the big deal today is that, you know, President Pollock is coming. Ryan Lombardi, VP for Student Campus Life. Joel Molina, VP for University Relations. And then Vijay, the VC. So I believe they're all coming. I don't know.
Okay.
So, and they'll be here right at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And I got the mics best I can. We got a new audio visual guy, Nick. And, well, I don't know if we've been messing around now, but the mics weren't the same as they normally are.
Okay.
However, I got them up to stuff. They should be fine.
Okay. Well, you've been doing this enough that you know what.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when you get somebody else that's around, you don't know what's happening.
Right.
Unless he's right here with you.
Right.
He's not. And everything should be good.
Good. Well, thank you. We really appreciate all your efforts. We're hoping you're gonna have a nice conference.
Well, it'd be great for starting out.
Yeah.
Well, no, usually the first one I gotta bring up.
I know.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. I don't have any sense of how well attended it would be. I mean, it's a pretty nice day out.
Yeah.
People probably want to be outside.
Well, I was kind of questioning as to whether it was going to happen or not, but they're here, so that means it's happening.
Yeah. They're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, they were very specific about it because I know somebody in Campus Life wanted to use the room in order to do a new student event tonight. And,
yeah, just a little trouble.
Yeah, and I said, well, so they reached out to me, and I checked in with the student, with the executive committee because I thought, well, I don't want to assume because then it would be terrible if they decided, we don't want to have it on the first day of class.
I need to be. And
so I reached out and said, no, we're definitely happy. So they're all excited.
Okay,
to go.
That's good. Because everybody, it's the same every start of semester. Everybody is full speed ahead.
Yeah.
Out.
But that's the benefit, I suppose, of being a young student, right?
Yeah. That's, I guess, all that.
Yep. All right.
As opposed to normal.
So,
is
the
test of Monsu
one goes in the block
to the right,
two to the right,
two to the main.
As it wants to.
DJ. Start.
They want to see you in particular. They want to see you in particular. Right. I'm the tone.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, testing.
Just in case I be on 1 week.
That's an affirmative.
Talking to the CP show.
Testing, testing.
Thank you, sir.
Testing, testing.
Testing.
1, 2, a little test.
That's the end of the eat.
That's 1, 2, 3.
Grab one of the agendas.
No, the one you emailed me.
It was on the agenda. Yeah, so I'm going to go.
Oh,
Good evening, everyone. If you could please take a seat, we have some corporate guests. Everyone, we're going to host in class. I'll be opening the floor. It's 4:46, and we'll be beginning with the roll call.
Joseph Anderson.
Here.
Dale Warner.
Here.
Arun Devita.
Here.
Omar Dean. John Dominguez, Osai Karaka, Abigail Hailu, Rada Harshwarhan, Natalia Fernandez, Sushruta Yudhavanti, Akansha Main, Kelly Kemet, Savannah Lynn, Nick Matolka, Debbie Villagaru, Marco Corrado Ochoa, Evan Shapiro, Mahfouza Shobit, Jaywon Sim, Franco Reed Reinhold, Ian Wallace, Ryan Weintraub, Grace Park, we have 22 members.
At this time, I'd entertain a motion to amend the agenda, preferably to move the microphone after President Paul already presented as well as additionally, we will need to add the oath of office after the presentation. And there's a fantastic. That will be amended to the agenda. You guys would like to begin speaking. We will go into questions after that. We have three questions prepared from the assembly. And Sabata will go around to the committee and take any questions that you have. If you'd like to speak, you can
well, first and most importantly, I want to welcome everyone
In the independent office, we have a number of new staff, one called two future meeting participants. Quincy is the director of first generation and local position of our presentation. In addition, many of you may be already met Kevin Moran, who does a special in supporting DACA and DACA. She will be able to work with the team. Also, love Ron. The new associate dean of conflict resolution services on Imperial Council. She's going to make sure that we make clear our private alternative solution that is. We also have new staff on the Belgian Center and the Asian Nation Reference Center. I also want to mention one other information from the task force that really resonated with me, and these are just a small one. But it was one of the most strongly recommended ideas of the community. And that is that we work as a campus to make it explicit what our core levels are. I mean, there's lots of documents in campus that have all speech and academic integrity statements. There are lots of statements that are on the ground. So we don't have a single document that all people can say, yes, I'm a member of the core community. This is something that is right. So stay tuned. So on that topic again, many details to come on the website, email, there's going to be lots of activity. I'm going to give you a little bit of news on the academic front. We have two wonderful deans, Dr. Jared O'Donnell, he is the new dean of arts and sciences. He comes from Western Vermont University. He's an astronomer. He's not only an outstanding research, but he's written some books to the public on stars and cosmology. He's also traveled to 55 countries, all 7 months. So he's a very interesting guy on the future vision of campus. And it's starting on January 1, on the new lead in the dean of art architecture and planning. But she's an architecture and architecture teacher and work in design and architecture. She looked at the intersection in building also part of one. And finally, that's for the search for the jobs in college and the way going very well. Active learning, how many of you have taken one of the classes? So that initiative has been extraordinarily successful. They not just rolled it out, but they study the impact. So they know analysis of how many people do at the end of that course. What they found is that not only does everybody do better, but students come from high school and maybe didn't have to get so that kind of close to the gap in the performance of the social class by all the consumers. So we're very excited about that. We have a new gift, hoping to develop it now and be able to hold the application back. We also have three DBERs. DBERs are disciplinary-based educational recruiters. These are faculty members who sit in a department. You have one physics, one biology, and one economics. And what they study is the best way to teach that discipline. So it's really, I think, it's a real demonstration of the power of this faculty, not just to research, but to the just a few other things, and then I'll take questions. These are more things to stay tuned for. Parallel with the I actually mentioned the task force on campus climate proposals, and also the task force on diversifying faculty. Those recommendations are coming out and saying that all of that human equity and awareness is a little different. But we also have a record that put out a report on New York City. And what will come out of the community of New York City, you know, what would it look like a decade from now? We're still just as strong as ever, but also an expanded presence in New York City. That happens a bit more along with that. Our contest will hold me up quite as soon as the president has a prior presentation on that. As a new member of the initiatives, I will be hiring three addressing the bad behavior in the fraternity of the sorority system and trying to really enable them to thrive, trying to really make sure that they were healthy, good places for students to find friends and so on. We are working hard to get those from policies implemented, really come up in many conversations, so stay tuned for that. And finally, please sign up for our new networking and mentoring platform.
We'll be moving to the questions. First up, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you have a hard deadline at 5:15, so I'll make it short. So this morning, in your email to the whole entire campus community, you noted that one of the most basic responsibilities of the university is to protect freedom of speech. And in that kind of natural debate around freedom of speech and hate speech harassment, that seems to run counter to a lot of the ideas that we're proposed from. Your task force, and I know the university is going to be working on it, so does that mean it's really not on the table anymore? Because it just seems like in that national debate, when individuals say we're protect free speech, it means that those enforcement harassment cases are really not going to come up.
No, I think you are absolutely right that there is a tension between an interest in protecting freedom of speech and expression, and that's academic freedom. Very important protections in mind. And ensuring that we have a level of another very important part of us. Although there's a tension, and one that's more that tension, I do not believe that it was like a right one or the other. Only get one and pay attention to one thing, we don't pay attention to the other. The subcommittee of the task force that looked at harassment and speech made a number of, I thought, very, very sensitive recommendations that will allow us to protect free speech. That will allow us to remain what it must be as a university community, really debate ideas, difficult ideas, but where we also avoid harassment, where we also avoid harassment. I have a very good suggestion about how to modify the code. Now, I don't own the code. The university assembly owns the code. And so what I am going to do is take that code, summarize it, and then have to go over to and ask the university assembly.
Thank you very much for coming. Your opening address was probably the most concise and detailed speech anybody's ever given to the assembly. So that's always appreciated. I would like to very much follow Joe discussing the code and hate speech and free speech, but I feel like that would be better suited for the university assembly. And while you're here, if you haven't seen our agenda, resolution one is repassing and reposing Appendix B. What we've done is we've taken out everything that it returned to protected, and we're going to be re-proposing the document with all the changes that you, I guess, accepted preliminarily, and we're hoping that you'll be able to approve all the changes that you've accepted as soon as possible so that we can have Appendix B in place for regulation about our organizations.
I'm sorry, I'm
going to
be very negative.
Okay, so that's the section near the end of the student assembly charter, which that's okay. A lot of student assembly members haven't learned all the specifics yet, but Ryan was having a discussion with me about it, and that's the section of the student assembly charter, which includes all of the rules that are used to govern bylaw organizations and how they're allowed to use student activity for money. What we did is we proposed our changes to Appendix B at the end of the previous year after we decided on funding for all the organizations, and we were rejected for specific amendments. And unfortunately, the way the resolution worked, that meant that the entire resolution. function is functionally injected. So we're reproposing all the ones that we have in
the project. So, okay, so first of all, thank you for raising that, because I want to say two things. One, not having looked at that since last year, I'm not going to categorically say yet it's fine, but assuming you really did just pull out the things that I thought were problematic and left the things I think I was fine with, then of course we'll move forward to replace copies. But I want to make a meta comment that goes to this notion of collaboration. I mean, on the one hand, yes, each of the assemblies does its own thing, it should do its own thing. But sometimes I think like we would be much more efficient if we could talk to each other. So sometimes it would be really helpful when you're thinking about, I'm going to say to all those of you, when you're thinking about some of these resolutions, come and talk to us. And maybe we can, you know, I'm not saying we're always going to pray for this whole check community. I'm just saying we might be able to be more efficient if sometimes we have a problem with that.
And I hope we do have a chance to discuss the two amendments that you returned but did not reject. I hope that we can collaborate and find appropriate language that you'd be more willing to accept.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for taking the time out to be here. My question is, how is your administration planning to deal with the revenue flux of students avoiding CS? Because at the moment, there is high demand and low supply. Because like, I see people with bad vehicles versus other schools, like get courses from different people, and I know like it's taking a challenge of times. And it sounds different for myself, I know that.
Next up is the topic, but before we do that, members of the community, if you'd like to speak, some others are there, feel free to bring them up and say what we have.
Hi, thank you for coming. My question was about IDP, which you mentioned that the freshmen were doing this semester. I heard some very informal kind of feedback from some of the freshmen And a lot of marginalized communities, people who are part of them, have said that the burden is placed on them in these conversations. So I'm just wondering if IDP is going to be the gold standard from now on for orientation, or if we're going to get feedback and then tweak it, and how that feedback will come.
So we are always, and in the IDP staff in particular, do always try to be very cognizant of that issue of not working on being marginalized and underrepresented. This was an experiment. I mean, this was a real effort to scale up something. So we absolutely are going to get feedback and get it in that way and other ways. If it didn't work as well as we should have, but what to do.
I'm going to do it just for the marker, actually. Hi. You spoke about coming out here to city. I was looking a little bit more about technical, specifically the Israeli ties when there are more militias attacked, specifically the building of weapons used in the military operations, and also how that would play a role in the document and the engine, which would emphasize all of this. This is not a
This university feels very strongly that we should love the president of the and that we should be partners with that people back in the people back in the world. So we have
some. That exhausts the first speaker's list. We'll be moving to the second speaker's list.
So, as we mentioned, there are a few past therapists that are going to be hired, but I think this is going to go through the big flaw that I want to talk about in terms of problem on this campus. So closer. Okay. We're never addressing the root issue of the problem on this campus. That's because there's a lot of academic rigor and faculty that just aren't giving the students their mental health. And I'm wondering why, as the university, we're not going into the heart of the problem, that students are overworked, that classes get overbooked, that overall, there's just this kind of war around mental health that it's always the student's fault for not being able to handle classes. It's not faculty members' fault for giving too demanding of work. Because this is a situation that's going on across this campus in many years. So why don't we just hit the root of the problem? Because eventually, these therapists, it's going to be too much. It's just not going to be worth our while anymore.
All I would say is, my conversation.
I think there is a really good point to another point on the students. And we do have some faculty that very much want to help shape the cultural norms through this time, especially in the classroom and in the academic environment. There have been a couple of themes in particular that really stepped out in the years. Matthew, he just hired his leadership, he's now in the faculty. I'm excited about that because it's been good news. And they have joined us with this coalition that I'll help. Really, really good talk because I'd really like to maybe shape our first agenda that meeting within the first month. And maybe we can shape this first agenda really, really dive into some of that academic research. And I know that our meeting with faculty, Charlie, and I know that we tried to do this with our fundraiser last year. We really put the best job in faculty to encourage them to acknowledge that hardships and policy. So I think there's a really good point that I'd like to do some time to get that with faculty in the room.
You know, just before we get into it, it's very small amount of that, but I'm going to be, there's a week with faculty, month with faculty, from China, and I'm going to go tomorrow. Well, we'll see what I can do.
We have time for a few more speakers. You, Chief?
Hi, my name is Uti. I'm a reporter for Toronto Data Sun. I just wanted to ask about the progress of the LGBTQ program and the Asian American Council of Rights. That was a conversation that happened last year. If you guys have a timeline, when there was some things that happened, or the peace vote, scale, just like a brief update. Thank you. Thanks for the question. So these are a proposal for two new program house living options on campus. One, I'm pleased to say, was a great group came together last year. Some folks in this room and put together a great proposal. I accepted that over summer, all the recommendations that group of students wanted to do. I appreciate that, and we'll be moving towards implementation. The group proposed that we have that ready to open next fall, which is the timeline that we'll be under, and certainly we'll need that timeline. We just began our conversations last year on the Asian living unit, and we need to continue. So no formal proposals yet. We have a resolution, obviously, no formal proposals or shapes. So I think we'll mimic the process that we did with the Love House and try to get that going here at the Silver Falls. As for a formal timeline, that I can't speak to that until we get into a little more details. Our early talks have been that we try to have that somewhat in line with the timeline. So that would be around fall of 2021, if that goes, we would have some more conversations in that case.
Thank you, Mr. Clark, for being here, and I'll try to keep this quick. Just a question on that, and I guess this is one of the questions from Lombardi about the situation of housing on board campus. I've had friends that have been a little concerned about the athletic situation now that the whole fields, I believe, will be out of commission, and it's just the situation a lot of construction going on in that area. How do you plan to, I guess, mitigate those losses of that space?
Yeah, so the first thing I'll say is we do plan to break down later this year, probably in the semester, so we'll be for a lot of that. We'll be sure to communicate that. I'd love to come back and give you an update on your guys' plan and what we're doing. We're very cognizant of the fields that we're taking away from the recreation. We are going to preserve some as well and upgrade the ones that we're paying for turf fields. Those are you quite on those fields currently next to the level. We're also going to maintain the policies about these congested fields, which right now are very restrictive. So we're going to maintain those policies. We're also looking at some other opportunities on several things to play in our recreation spaces. So we're very keen on this and get attention right, trying to get more housing than we all know what the best would be here. I'll also try to tie on the line and we'll have some time.
I'm sorry, I'm going to be getting a quiet for the week. Thank you very much, and I'll see you
all in the year. Thank you.
We'll be continuing with the new modified agenda. We'll be coming into the oath of office. It's in your binders. All right, so just repeat after me, please put your right arm up. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I, Greer Gabler, do solemnly affirm on this, the 23rd day of August in the year 2015, to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposefully misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body. Address the issues of my fellow students. Strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Thank you. Please have these signed at the end of the meeting, and we'll hand them back to you. With that, we'll be moving into open microphone.
Any other member of the community would like to speak, please come up to the front of the table, state your name and year. And with that, we'll close it.
All right, we'll be moving into announcements and reports. DVP Anderson.
Hi everyone. So as yesterday, we're going to go through SAT orientation. We're going to teach you basically the ins and outs from assembly, make sure you're writing the effective resolutions, making sure you're effective. So if you all take out your calendar, this will be put on the list of the assembly calendar as well. But AMI, September, Saturday the 8th, from 11 to 2 p.m., that's essay orientation. It's expected and mandatory that you be able to attend. If not, please email me, and then we will sit down together one-on-one, and I'll explain everything that we went over, and that's really sad for both of us, because you don't want to be about to me talking about student assembly. Yeah, that's for the essay orientation. Also, I'll give a quick RSC update as Peter Lombardi, so, as we know, the campus expansion plan is put in the works. Specifically, this year, we're going to be looking at a lot of logistical concerns that actually is going to be. So, as the dates for RSC, we're going to be talking about that. It's Saturday, September 8th. That's the end of the time. While that will come.
Traditionally, we won't do this, but are there any more announcements and reports that letters we just have? Okay. We will be moving into resolution one, business of the day, approving appendix B through 2018-2020 filings. Because this was introduced over email and over call, we'll be able to vote on this today.
Hello everyone. For those of you who were on the assembly last year, nothing in this resolution is new. Every single one of these changes were proposed by the outgoing student assembly after they finished their allocation of the activity for the 2018-2020 bylaw cycle. They passed these changes to appendix B, which is now the title of student assembly guidelines for funding organizations. She did buy out funding organizations at any point. But the only problem was that the way the resolution was designed, because the entire resolution was one BLR for resolve clause, with the entire appendix B attached, when President Pollack had a problem with four of the amendments proposed, the only way for the function to reject those amendments was to have reject the entire resolution. So appendix B has been returned to us, and because of the way appendix B is written, every single provision, every single word of appendix B expired on June 30th. So currently, there are actually no guidelines governing the bylaw of the organizations and the reason we have to communicate. And every organization, the funding 28 organizations to settle, is just receiving activity fee funding for the next year, and right now, there are no rules governing. So, what this resolution is all of the amendments passed by the outgoing student assembly without the four amendments that President Pollack either returned or rejected. Later in the semester, I will be coming back with a resolution from Appropriations Committee, which includes an edited version of the two amendments that President Pollack returned, which she didn't have complete problems with, but she didn't want passed in the form then written. And we can do that later, but we need to pass this resolution today so that we do have an active speed. And Vice President Barney has promised to help expedite the review process of this resolution so that it's hopefully approved as soon as possible. I believe that the other
question. Do you revoke that motion?
did you determine what did you
I don't remember all four of them. One of the amendments that she rejected outright was a provision that added to athletics. What we do is through the activity fee, we fund part of the athletics marketing budget, which you can see is the first organization. If you go to page four, the second organization, if you go to page four of the attached appendix to this resolution, there was language in there which is not included in this draft, which basically set some guidelines concerning how athletics had to use the marketing budget. Specifically, we said they had to increase the amount of their spending on marketing to female sports for now. And President Powell didn't believe it was appropriate for us to set specific standards on marketing and use their budget because we were funding a small part of it. Another amendment that she rejected had to do with fund partitioning, which is page two near the bottom. We added a provision saying that every organization had to keep all of the revenue generated from any activity fee funded event in this partition activity fee account, and that none of that money could be used for salaries and wages. For those of you who were here last year, obviously that provision was written to a specific response to how the Cornell Cinema had been using its funds, and President Powell did not believe it was appropriate that we essentially were outlawing the use of earned income for specific situations for activity fee funding, because that's just and we can revisit. I don't remember exactly what the other two were. And you can see that online, if you go to the resolution on the assembly answer from last year, on the assembly that we're not going to do, it will have President Pollock's full email response.
I also forwarded that to the rest of the assembly, so everyone should have access to that. Is there any dissent? Thank you. With that, we'll be moving to voting. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining, by a vote of 21-0-1, this motion passes.
Congrats, everyone, on the first resolution.
Also, please raise your pockets higher so we can get Matt in the count. This is just people with the same rules that we have to do at the beginning of the semester that basically guides probably some of the functions at the assembly meeting. The big change, not even that big, it's just we made it easier for representatives to contact J1 before the meeting to say if you want to be there. Originally, there were like different rules, like this is 2 weeks before, but if it's this, I did 3 weeks before. And I was like, that's stupid. So now everything's just 24 hours in advance of J1, and then the function. Good excuse. Well, excuse me for meeting, so it's going to be easier on you if your schedule are going to be like, oh my god, I don't know what this is yet. So, yeah, that's the big change. Oh, and also, come away a little bit early. We also made those changes more simplified for you. So, if you come late and you don't have J1, not an absence, but if you do come late and you don't have J1, have an absence. If you leave early and you don't have J1, no absence. And if you leave early and don't have J1, have an absence. Simplify this, it's so easy so that you all don't have to guess. Just click the email to J1 and everything's good. Do you remove that motion? Come on. All right, I know we have technical rules, but that's not special rules in order. It's not clear with like the kind of system of purposes. We can buy that. So for just necessity, it's easier to have a special rules. Like in this, we can have a full section of proxy voting, but like in that, like since proxy voting doesn't really come up, or shouldn't really come up, but it does sometimes. Those are the special rules. Those are like really far out there. Like these are every meeting, here's what you email. And also on the other absences.
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All those in favor? That's a two-thirds vote. And that was us for the day. Is there a rushing event?
On 9:49, there is a vote on the first order of shipping operations on the planning of the future bridge. And on 9:58, on the most safe center.
Tom, did you get that?
Can you repeat this? On 9:49, first square there's a typo, should be operations. Also on 9:58, should be rule space.
All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? This clearly passes. Is there any dissent? All those in favor of passing this resolution? I don't think you're fine. All those against? All those abstaining? By a vote of 21-0, this resolution passes. Hopefully we can get high cover soon. Resolution 3, approval of the 2018-2019 student center budget.
I get approved. So this resolution is required by the standing rule to pass budget by the second week of semester. Historically, the budget has not been absolute. These are kind of guidelines that we set now, a general breakdown of how we want to allocate the funding that we have. To give some background, for this year, the student assembly went into the end of the bond cycle last fall with the intention of not funding the student assembly at all on the activity fee. During negotiations during December, at that final meeting where we allocated the activity fee, it was decided that we would fund the student assembly as a bylaw organization, 87 cents per student, with the hopes that the future student assembly, being us and next year, would take 100% of the bylaw activity fee application and put it into the financial aid review committee summer experience. We don't have to decide whether we're going to do that now. We probably should pass a resolution to ensure that that process goes successfully, if that is what we still want to do. But the student assembly, separate from the activity fee allocation, which is, you can see from the top of this resolution, is about, it's going to be about $13,000. The student assembly still has a $93,000 surplus. So the student assembly does not need any activity fee money to fund its budget, no matter what we use those $13,000 for, it should not go towards our budget. If you look at the resolution I have here with the budget attached, I've allocated about not counting the summer experience grant money, which is the activity fee allocation, $32,000 for the next year to be used on our budget, for our committees, for administrative costs, and for special projects funding. And I've left about $30,000 in, or I've left about $60,000 in student assembly in reserve, which is a new section we're creating. We probably will not touch any of that money this year. We spent those kind of over the past 2 years. We won't be able to spend $17,000 on operation. You can look over this now. If anybody has any objections, we can table this and discuss it offline and make amendments next week. If there are no problems, we'll probably be able to pass it today. Anybody has questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to find out what I mean. Just when I see the car. We had that $2,000 surplus last year, and that's now being increased to about $60,000 this year. I'm just trying to determine, are we, again, are we comfortable with reducing our reserves to that extent? I guess the better question would be, does the student assembly typically have a reserve that is like how much?
The student assembly, you know, historically, has always had some type of surplus. It's always had a special projects fund. But the student assembly is not needed. The student assembly, according to that recommendation on this campus, is not needed a budget at all. We need to spend money on this paper. But our budget exists to fund projects that committees believe are beneficial to student experience, that we use for our appropriations committee, and that are making the buyback process work better. The reason our reserve is for surplus reserve, whatever you call it, whatever you put the money in next year, the reason it's so large right now is primarily because of the work that was done 2 years ago by the student assembly, which happened, unfortunately, right after the buyback was allocated to move it into the leadership program, which up until then funded print copies of the USA Today and the New York Times 25 locations. That was a lot of money being spent. What the student assembly did is they canceled that program entirely, funded now online accounts of the New York Times First, and print copies of 10 locations on campus, which we hope will be funded again. And now later on, we added online copies of the Wall Street Journal. Together, the print copies of the 10 locations of the Times and the two newspapers were sold far less the last 2 years than the previous amount. All of that surplus was then moved into the student assembly. That's why we have tens of thousands of extra dollars. That's why we do not plan to fund ourselves on the activity fee this year. And the goal is to spend down as much of the reserve as we can in the next 4 years. If we do spend $17,000 on our operations and about $15,000 on special projects this year or next year, as we do. The plan is to go past 2020 with only about $30,000. And then the student assembly would probably have to fund itself about $1 per student for its operations. We would still be less than the funding ourselves. 2 years ago, we were over $2.
That brings us to sticking to this. The chair would entertain a motion to do this in the system again. All those in favor? There are 2/3 majority will be doing some business in the day. Would anyone like to speak on this topic? All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstained? I vote 21-01, this resolution passes. Moving to Resolution 4, lending student assembly bylaws for fairing efficiency and executive bus structure. We won't be able to pass this today. We'll be doing that next week. If you have any amendments, please let us know today. And we also have another week for more amendments.
All right, again. So this is bylaws amendment that comes out of the camp program today. It's an introduction of it, so we'll just go through them in the appendix when you did the rationale and ask questions and all that stuff. So it's very beginning, organization liaisons. As you know, the group track council doesn't liaison, but since they elect their e-board on calendar years, not like we have calendar years, their reps change, and so it'll make it simpler to change that idea so that reps from each council will serve on semester 1, this year would be MGLC, next semester would be IFC or PhD, depending on IFC, and then we'll change. As you can see, there is no tri-council right now. So, there you go. That's the tri-council. Just a couple small things like changing external operations and external affairs. Cleaning up some of the executive committee members' responsibility. And then we get on to section 7 of the executive committee, which is the addition of the vice president of infrastructure that we have to our executive. There's a couple reasons why this position was kind of necessary, kind of like you and I talked through from last year. Kind of just a couple to them. First, it's different when you email an admin in infrastructure saying, I'm the chair of the infrastructure fund, I'm going to be like vice president. It's like dumb, it's a dumb reason, but it's not a problem. In addition, it helps new members of the future assembly. So the position has an extremely integral part of the assembly. The infrastructure fund has thousands of dollars to spend, and it should be an executive committee position, so it's easy to communicate with our executive committee and vice president of finance, because I know Ian had a lot of issues last year beginning with our vice president of finance. So it's to really make this position be more important as it is, and
somebody's committing to participating in building the infrastructure for this campus.
I don't know if there's a good thing to note, but I was skeptical about this initiative because creating positions that are necessary. But looking at the student assembly over the past few years, the Infrastructure Fund Commission has always, in some form, unfortunately, failed because of the way it hasn't had the same prestige as other members of the appropriations committee has. It hasn't had the same consistency in operations. And I think the action of making the chair of the commission a vice president of the student assembly, it gives that chairperson the notion that the committee is important, that they should be chair. If any of you get a chance, you should check out Appendix C, the student assembly charter, which outlines how this committee is supposed to function, the timeline it's supposed to follow, and really cool stuff that they do on campus. And I think this is one small change that could make the committee successful this year going into the future.
Okay, and then keep going through it,
Okay, so going to Article 6, Section 1, 1.284. This is the small operational change to the staff's committees. Historically, the student assembly hasn't had a really good mechanism to make them to committees. What that means is, the student assembly committee expires year, and to get back on the student assembly committees, even ones that just review committees that shouldn't be so selected, you have to do is apply back to the committee for the fall elections and hope that you get selected by the new chair. What this change does is allows the outgoing chair and all of our committees to be selected amongst appropriations election executive force to reappoint people at the end of the term. So the outgoing chair, our outgoing vice president of operations, notify the incoming chair, the incoming vice president of general operations. Have this person's committee as a lister that gets started on June 1st, when the committee is over, these people are still on the committee, they don't have to worry about reapplying at all, and not getting back as the suspended committee. Allows the committees to hit the ground running in September and August, and it just makes those students function more efficiently. The other thing that is here is adding all vice presidents of the student assembly, essentially what Section C is doing is adding to the listers. This way, all student assembly vice presidents are really important. A lot of stuff to do on your committees. What that allows them to do is actually be able to see all the emails and work as well. And that's really important so that Somali can help do PR for all committees. I can make sure that all committee activities that need funding get the funding that they need. And historically, it's been a problem that most vice presidents aren't on the committees and aren't able to provide the support and collaboration.
Okay, moving on, Section 3, E, this kind of just really pulls out what SAIFC's membership looks like. It gives a permanent number of 12 to 17 commissioners, making sure what's the idea.
Okay, so historically, this committee had to have 8 student assembly members and then the 7 non student assembly members. But again, we touched on this more in question. Obviously, we can't pass this race. The membership is made to model AXCOM correctly, and of course, this committee is not AXCOM. It's not overseeing all data organizations, but all the students allocated on the infrastructure projects. Student assembly members act as well by the committee, student assembly, so by the student assembly. And I think it was never successful to have a majority of student assembly membership on this committee. It was always difficult to get 8 student assembly members to serve. Myself, I was president of finance, as well as vice president of affairs. To this committee by changes to the ex-officio, and it would only have 5 student assembly, which includes me as the chair. And I think that makes it much more reasonable to get membership to the committee, get students that are actually interested in serving on the committee, rather than forcing the staff members. And it allows you to staff more non student assembly members, which is a fair amount. It happens, but to not have to fill up that time, not necessarily.
And then the last kind of change is removal of technology committees that doesn't exist anymore. Exist in a different format outside of the assembly. Then we change Section 8, staff committee, to the executive cabinet. This is just a nomenclature change because the intent is to have staff members formally known as the staff committee, and now known as the executive cabinet, to meet more regularly on a bi-weekly schedule so that there can be more integration between committee chairs and the executive committee. So we're actually supporting the chairs doing, and then get to know.
know us. And get to know the executive committee and allows, like I said, the vice president of finance and the vice president of external affairs to really be able to support the investment methods and also for us, the other executive committee to improve this stuff. But that's not a huge change. That's really it. We'll take questions.
You want me to follow up with this? Okay. And then, I'm sure did you put that question in the chat? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and see my transcript to JWAN real quick to make a quick comment. So, your channel. So basically, one of the other things that we were discussing that I'll be bringing up next week as an amendment is the creation of offices for the president, the executive vice president of international operations. If you think of the other vice presidents within the executive committee, if you think of the infrastructure committee chair that's coming in, as well as Natalia, as well as Sylvana, they all have offices to support their initiatives. And so one of the issues that I foresaw or seen being a former EVP is that there's a lot of responsibility that's placed upon you, and in order to be the most effective individual within that role you can be, you need a support system that really directly reports to you. And with that in mind, we have this discussion with the exec, and I think within the executive committee we have a broad support for this. But I will bring you up resolution or amendments for that next week. Does anyone have any questions about that? Yep. Okay, thank you. Offices. So it would essentially serve like a committee, except instead of being by the rest of the assembly, it's appointment based by ourselves because of the way we see it, that it's more of a direct support for ourselves rather than a direct support for the assembly.
And everyone talk about it, please.
The people you'd be appointed to these offices are those SA members or those are just.
It can be anyone.
So just if like we have a friend, for example, that would be helpful in one of the things you can have.
Right. So this has really been done on a non-official level in the past where people find people to support them. The only difference is we're making it more efficient and more fluid because we allow certain individuals from our offices to be on the sphere. So instead of us doing small logistical things like forwarding emails, that's really gonna waste time. We'll have more increased access to
all right,
cool.
I'm going to
take that.
Thanks, Jay. Also, one that I forgot to mention that I really want to next week. I'm meeting with the leadership of SAFC tomorrow to discuss the addition of a subcommittee, the Appropriations Committee, that's only function would be to review organizations that apply for works and registration. What this will do is help extend the flow of the work of SAFC implementation. Which I don't know if many of you know has been going up about $5 over 2 years of the activity fee, which is about $7,000 a year, not $70,000 a year, which is a lot of money. Hopefully, we can stop that.
Thank you, Deb. Grace is the first person on this business. Next is Kieran. Do you have a seat?
I have a question on Article 6, Section 1B, about the returning members of the SA committee. So is there a cap of returning members? Because I feel like it would be helpful to give the incoming chair, I guess, a level of autonomy of the committee and that committee also. So like even if people scrap the whole thing about returning members, I think there should be a cap.
We can discuss this, but historically I've seen for all the committees that don't have cap membership, which is really every committee other than post technical staff back in the and every other appropriations committee like just committee social cap membership. None of those committees have cap membership. And depending on the amount of the campus, they in some delay things to come, but for other people it's hard to get the membership. And in my opinion, if there's somebody who's approved, whether it's one student, 10 students, 20 students, that the outgoing chair and it will be outgoing incoming internal operations vice presidents, so they can stay on the committee. I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be allowed to. I do think that maybe we do want to get legal power to the incoming chair. Historically, we haven't had more than five students ever return to the system. And I don't foresee excess of quantity ever being a problem in the future. And if that ever does become a problem, I think it's a huge problem for students that we have. But there are too many students returning to the system. And if you want to, we can discuss that in the next week. But I really don't think that's ever going to happen.
And I realize that you're talking based on like experiences and what's been happening. A charter, a rule book, and everything is just fine for, you know, every situation. I just think it would be helpful to like have a certain number that you know, would achieve the things of hitting the ground running at the same time. Like, even if you have everything, you would take the economy of the new chair.
I think maybe a lot of the chair departments possibly have other things. Because each of you is better.
How are you going to follow up?
Yeah, I mean, I can also just speak from experience with the aging on assembly, but then being on the committee before we've done the assembly, I think there are good changes. Especially with just the way the committee has been functioning, with, like, all of the returning members have been, like, back on the committee. But not always going to change much day to day. I guess just like those two or three, like, cases on the side that I might have to really get back on, but I've already been continuing to walk on the board. I think functionally, the new chair is like, you know, if like you see a problem moving forward, you change.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, so I've been planning for about a section 7 on the PhD position of Vice President of Infrastructure. So my concern is to the fact that this is sort of with the entire revolution, which is sort of so there is the aim to amend for clarity and efficiency, and I think the executive committee structure is sort of like a different part. I think combining all of this into a single resolution that the committee has or not has is not right. And I think it would be much better if we could separate the amendment for being section 7 into a different resolution and allow the essay to debate this in more depth. I think there is a difference between the existing role of the vice presidents on the executive committee right now that is to be created by the president of the university. I think the SA needs to do this more than that. So I am going to recommend that this be created into a separate
relationship. So just respond to that. One reason why we didn't do that was because wasting paper, we have to do some bylaws and different bylaws. But next week, we should adjust the by the question. That's another solution that we need to consider the vice president infrastructure on a separate one. But also, we have how much time we have left to meet. We can talk about the vice president infrastructure, we'll get that done right now. But I guess to address the concern of what this vice president is doing the same amount as other vice presidents, yes. I think in general, the vice president is whatever that individual in that seat makes it. We have had vice presidents, we have had vice presidents in the past. But I mean, that is a large sum of money that provides a lot of coordination with a lot of different offices that we have not given credit to. Specifically, let's look at last year with Ian and the Straight Edge. That was a lot of work that Ian had to go through, that Ian got through a lot of emails, and imagine doing multiple projects throughout the whole entire year with that person seeing, you know, three different projects, whether they be as small as like little trash cans out to the main library or as big as the Straight Edge project. So the fact that
yeah, I think to buy any questions more than okay with the bylaws. We have absolute authority over the bylaws. Of course, we can't get the students and tablets in the bylaws, but unlike the charter, we don't have the people. So we could have two separate resolutions next week for the bylaw questions separately without any actual process. Can't do that with charter because it's a mess. The other thing I do want to make is vice president infrastructure. The other reason that I was okay with this, and I'm very sorry that everyone that you mistake, that probably should be a better place to start the discussion. But the other reason that I'm okay with this is because I think one of the really cool advantages that kind of requires laws and
having seven members of the executive committee was gone in the future. Not placed for super party discussions. Having agenda supposed to be set, I have a little issue with stuff like that. But having seven members actually makes it much easier. Because we still only need four members of the board, but we have seven or six. And that actually just helps the efficiency of the executive committee meeting. Three members in the room, waiting for four persons to hear. Instead of that.
I'm going to separate the discussion into specifically this issue for now. We haven't given enough time and we're going to solve this topic. It makes more sense to continue with this. Does anyone else have any comments to make about this topic?
Well, I think this adds a lot of good stuff to it, and I think it's nice. I appreciate the benefits of having separate members on the network. It's much easier to do the meetings. But I do share JWAL's concerns about the discussion on the committee. I think the way I see it from my perspective is it seems like SAFC is another spending arm, it's a spending arm.
Yes, so one of the comments is currently from the activity is about hiring the damage for a certain percentage. Well, this is actually almost a year, which I'm going to apply for. It's all about the competitive signature, but it is primarily this kind of comment.
Yeah, and so for me, what I think of the executive committee, I'm thinking of big, you know, tower where just that structure is supposed to be, and I think of that as a city. I think it would be a fine story. I think we're just adding, this is, SAIC to address your point on the SA taking it seriously. I think we are taking it seriously. It has a lot of money that spends amount of campus. So I think to say that we're not taking it very seriously, I think we are taking it seriously, but I also want to say, hey, my main point is I don't think it works beyond the executive committee because we already have finance on the executive committee. So I just feel like we're kind of duplicating two spending directions into the executive budget.
So the sentiment of, I have a lot to address there, but I would say the vice president for finance and vice president of the executive function. So the vice president for finance chairs the appropriations committee, whose role is to make sure private organizations are in line with the next year, make sure that the settings are connected early on in 2 years, which is very different than I would say SAIC, which, you know, SAIC is a student assembly infrastructure fund, but the appropriations process goes to private organizations and SAIC, which those organizations do. So it's functioning in two different positions, in my opinion. In addition, I guess I would push back on your idea that the student assembly is not considered as taken seriously across this campus in very different ways. I think there are some places that really do care about those and some that doesn't care, some that don't care less. And that's an honest, just I think we all need to be honest with ourselves. And so I think in general, we need to find ways for student assembly to positively impact students in different ways. And I think this is really forward step doing so. I think in general, it allows the student assembly to just show that we can actually do things where I think a lot of times, like, come to these Thursday meetings and really don't do a lot for students. And this is a thing where we can physically do students' lives and they can see that some stuff happening. So I just kind of disagree with the notion.
And I don't disagree philosophically with what you're saying, but not like that anymore. That part of the really doesn't make sense 2 years ago is that. The vice president got each one to the picture of the vice president. That's what we do. So,
But I do agree with Joe that there are two fundamental things. The vice president for finance is, like Joe said, the person who's running the oversight over my organization. And the second role is being the treasurer of the as vice president for finance, I believe it's the any community chair can be any other vice president in the treasurer of the board members being funded for the benefit. Those are the two roles of president. But the idea of creating a second vice president of infrastructure, their primary role would not just be funded, just like the non vice president. So, my primary role is not just my role is not just the communications committee, it's also treasurer's committee. Right? Sana's role is not just the communications committee, it's also external relations of every single community in the center. They want the role is not just the staff committee, but the internal operations committee. So the idea of whether or not we want the vice president of infrastructure is not just the head of the infrastructure committee, but do we want somebody to come in the role? Will be active in the student center, student infrastructure team campus, which is not just going for our own social mission. And that goes for housing. Do we want somebody to be the one person to make sure that housing master plan goes well for all students? Do we want our person to make sure that sustainability infrastructure coming, like my source heat, are going well for all students? And that would be a good resource as well, which is not what I would be doing as the budget plan behind it. And so they are difficult. I don't think it's the education goes forward as a question of you. And Jim will ask if you want this position. And hopefully, by next week, I'll be asking for that
position. We'll go to the next question. Natalia. Eddie. You, Jim.
So looking at section 7, so my concern is that the role of the VP of infrastructure will overlap very much with the existing roles on the exec. For example, clause 6 and 7 provide updates on the state of diversity at Cornell, and that could already be covered by the VP of diversity and inclusion. Also, and in 7, coordinating with the VP of external affairs that could easily be done as the chair of SAIC. So I'm not really seeing like a difference as to what the change would be from the current structure to the new structure. This could easily be done in the current form. And also, important to me, to meet at least monthly with the campus manager, also meet on as need basis with other administrators. I think that is the role of the SARC chair as it is right now. And I'm not really seeing much of a difference from what is right now to creating this role. And I think we should be really considerate when creating new roles on the SA and on the executive committee. So that's the best. Can I make a motion for a straw poll?
Second. Motion for a straw poll.
Yes.
On this issue of creating my committee. Is there any dissent? A straw poll is an informal vote that doesn't actually mean anything, but it's used to see where everyone stands on this issue. You dissent? Okay. Would you like to state your dissent?
I really don't want to vote right now because I feel like that's going to affect how people think other people are thinking. I really think I'm going to take a week to discuss this before getting something like a informal vote, including myself. I don't want to see what that
vote would be. But the reason that I think there should be a straw poll is I feel like maybe there are one or two people who can lose comfort about it, but I feel like I personally vote for that better structure. I don't think functionally it would change anything about the role of function or attraction that's there. Right? And I feel like a lot of people might be trying to find all those in favor of having a straw poll. All those against? All All those abstaining? I come at 12 of the abstaining and that's 22 people. We're going to do that again. All those in favor? This motion passes. All those who could theoretically vote in favor. Sorry? This specific portion of the resolution will be doing a yes, no, and unsure. Correct. So all those that would like to see you guys present your original. All those that would not like to see that chance of being. All those that are unsure. Seven to four, it's split. Have fun whipping everyone.
As a note, all changes to the bylaws require 2/3 membership of the assembly, which includes currently 16 members. So, as of now, the nays will have.
I'm happy to talk offline with people because I feel like Jason needs to do some confidential math. Okay, we're going to move back to the speakers list on this. I'm going to make a quick question. Guys, my question is this. What may or what do you feel makes this more of a relevant member of the executive committee than something like the chair for financial or the chair for environmental issues or the chairs of other committees that aren't necessarily student assembly positions that could theoretically come into this? What makes this more necessary in those positions?
I think it's a good question. And I think there's a couple of differences. First being the sum of money that this person he had as a chair. Really far, kind of can manage himself a lot of time. He's really done with the financial box and there's staff and consequences. With the infrastructure fund, you don't really have that staff person who's in like the infrastructural of Cornell who helps guide systems to it. So this person really, if you look at where the student somebody wants to go with infrastructure and where the student somebody should go with infrastructure in the future, I think it makes ultimate sense. I mean, if you want to get meta, President Pollack has clear issues for his campus, and we need to find a way to carve out where the student somebody's like main goal and main points to put our mark on the map are. And I think infrastructure is sure for that in student assembly, just because the budget for it has really not been fully utilized for many, many years, because there's been so much turnover. And having vice president, I think ultimately people take the role more seriously than internally, externally, the whole entire thing. And so I think, yes, open chairs are really, really important, but with a massive budget, a massive endowment, and the fact that there's not a lot of institutionalized support for it, really wanted someone whose full-time job is to think about this. I mean, think about it. Like, take the example of Ian. It could be anyone, but with Ian, he's not only chair of the infrastructure committee, but he's also a budget executive. He's doing two roles that are totally separate. So that could be, you know, 1 year would be the infrastructure and then an arts and science director. Two roles that could be so separate and different. So you really want to make sure the person that's putting in the infrastructure role is committed to it and is supportive of that overall.
Yeah, the first answer I would have had would have been that you really have two. I don't care what the bylaws say, but what's the operational committee. So really, the two operational committees here. So an operational function, and one of the executive infrastructure fund commission. And like Joe said, the real difference is that part has full staff, part has a consistent space in which we want some people to work with. And its funding source, operationally and decision making wise, are done entirely.
The committee does not have the representation that the foundation has, and it doesn't have the right to support the foundation. And the institutions of the system is quite confident that the leadership of the foundation has been prepared in the past years. God has not been prepared. God has done a wonderful job with some experience in it and students in it, and was able to be a source of funding. I'm sorry. But the infrastructure foundation is supposed to be great to convert this endowment to this is the activity, and it's like the funding source for infrastructure. And importantly, it has to be. And that will be one of why this committee really and the committee chair also be vice president. I was going to earlier there was a comment how a lot of these things that are laid out in the vice president job are already a job in the infrastructure foundation chair. And I want to just respond to that. These are not listed anywhere as jobs in the chair. They are not on the NDC or the infrastructure foundation finance. And maybe this one's the other point. Maybe those are things that we want to apply as a job in the infrastructure chair. But as of now, those are not the jobs. Make that a job in the vice president. Maybe that's what it is.
Just sort of go back to the past, no one chair of the SIIC has taken this grant. Like, it's not, it hasn't gotten the love of the people. SIIC is such a force for the public that I'm saying this, and it's so unappreciated. This is just giving a lot of love to this
grant. Okay. So I had a couple questions.
A little bit of justification for why I voted against it. And so,
my primary,
I completely agree with just how we should definitely prioritize infrastructure and like the student assembly's power to shape the future for our campus and how that's one of our main priorities. Because it's one of the spaces where you have the leverage and power able to shape it. And I completely get that. Cares about this very large sum of money. And my primary concern is, and I think my question, I don't think I've been addressed too well yet, is why does this specific position look so different from all the other positions on the import? And so, all the positions on the import seem very much related to how student assembly actually. Do you have the elections, a director of elections, like that obviously handles how we all get here, a vice president, all these positions that specifically relate to how student assembly governs itself as a body, and then what are the roles and all those things. I'm just wondering why if this is the best way to prioritize infrastructure. As a part of the student assembly agenda.
Let's do two speakers. Just to make this back a bit.
So I'm kind of unsure about like this position. I definitely agree that we need to prioritize the infrastructure because it hasn't had the progress that it deserves. But I see this.
So I think we're taking steps to address your point specifically with the more frequent meetings of public sector cabinet to have more face time for each other. So I think that's one. And to differentiate why I think the infrastructure makes really specific sense of price presidency is because looking at it now, it's dealing with massive surplus for this upcoming year that hasn't been touched for years past. But then looking forward, again, it's all about finding where the student assembly can partner really well with Cornell. You know, as the institution,
where the cities and communities are pushing forward in the best ways possible. If you look at what has been successful, it has been our construction projects, which we have done and helped out with, specifically the Straight Edge, but also down in College Town, Grand Commercial Arts Theater, that new little area that somebody else did participate in. And so I think this is the most permanent way for the students and people to start naming bars on this campus. Around the world, your question, I guess it'd be like, what would be the reason to have such a different kind of position on the board than what it seems to be on the other position on the board? So I think if you look at, there's a multitude of positions, and I think very ones have different concepts. I mean, look at the EVP, I'm at each other, but also responsible for not just like activities to the federal and state government. Like, there's stuff that's within a lot of our property that we just don't, it just falls off our radar sometimes. And I don't think like something like D&I, recently just started being its own thing with conference that we tried to like. So it's really up to that process. So the infrastructure, I think, what's really specific about it is that there is, like I said, the permanence for students that we start making parks. Because a lot of what we do is really hard to realize on this campus when we do. And it's difficult to kind of coordinate these activities all within, having a chair, as I said, communicate with different committee for a ton of people at the same time. I think when you look at it, there's a lot of stuff last year with Vice President of Finance sitting on SAIC, but not actually attending any SAIC meetings, which that he went to too. We'll get to that. But I think there's a lot there where this would benefit the student assembly as a whole, so we can keep running smoothly. Because there's a lot of stuff that can happen with infrastructural projects. And if we really want to start showing that we care about students, what easier ways to do than literally build those whole things for students, have that communication with students who are part of students. And so that's where I see the advantage coming in. And I mean, yes, looking at it, it's like not like five subsections. Ones, but that doesn't mean what that person would be doing would be any less effective because there is very broad. Like, the vice president for infrastructure students, I'm literally being the vice president for infrastructure at the university. There's a lot that goes into that. So I think looking at it as a substantial but in reality, rather than this substantial.
So just another small thing I think means, but there are only two committee chair positions that are mandated to be student assembly members. Do not currently understand. That is the chair of the infrastructure funding commission and the financial aid. And as we said before, the financial aid has a lot of institutional support. But for the infrastructure funding commission chair, you're telling this person full time student assembly representative and the future chair of this committee, and you do not get the efficiency, collaboration, and access that comes with being executive board member. And yes, it sounds maybe a little bit silly, which I'm going to vice president of infrastructure or other federal areas. But we want this committee to be effective. We want the chair of this committee to have the same understanding and access and promises to receive the vice president of finance, vice president of diversity and inclusion, vice president of regional operations staff. Because being able to be in the room for all the vice presidents allows you to do your job, allows you to communicate with people in the community. And it takes a lot of time to serve the students at the serve at the executive board. And to one community. And when we don't provide any support to this person, we ask them to run an application process for infrastructure projects. We ask them to coordinate with infrastructure leadership on campus, the campus planner, the campus infrastructure fund committee, the university assembly, and configure all of these things out, but you don't get any. I do think that has to be a problem. And again, this might not be the solution, but this is one good discussion to have. This commission more effective, and we can be able to chair this meeting so that we can have that
next. Is there any dissent to tabling? We're going to vote on whether or not to table. This has to pass by the 3-5 majority. To table this specific discussion, we'll continue discussing the rest of it. Yeah, so motion to table for the next meeting. All those in favor? That's a clear majority. We're going to take that. We'll be moving to the overall resolution.
Sorry.
The resolution as a whole, you're requesting to table the resolution as a whole. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? We have 10 more minutes for this meeting. There's dissent. Please state your dissent. Okay, the motion has been rescinded. Shimon, you have first and second.
So looking at so section 4 for diversity, I'm looking at line 470, so things like that. So it's an administrative representation. So it's an Awadi staff member, a staff representative from Mario and all these central cities, and staff from the center. This doesn't reflect an understanding of the administrative folks that are supposed to be in the room, because the Mario and Awadi Center is an academic institution, and which has like this outreach program, a bunch of like grad student type folks, or like PhD and stuff. And then the Center for Intercultural Dialogue only hosts SDDI, the Center for Student Development and Diversity Initiatives, the Asian and Asian American Center, and the LGBTQ Resource Center. So you wouldn't even be able to have representatives from the Hawaiian, Latinx, and Indigenous centers. So I think that administrative stuff really needs to change, because it's putting a lot of racial barriers.
Savannah?
That could be taken out because none of those people are from money.
Yep. So I think that's just because we did go on the invite to watch the firearms. I think that's fun to talk about. I think now with these things really building out the risky portfolio, that's really starting to understand more things on it. I think this is the time for Cabin to really make sure our representatives know what those things are, to make sure you can ask for orientation. But also, I think this is the time that we're going to really.
Just a small thing back to page 4 of this document, where it says section 5 tries to hold it as an obligation to be obligation to hold it to appearance. Just scratch it out to appearance.
Next on the speaker's list is
also the table.
Yeah.
I also, just in case I forget, another thing is that if you look at the diversity committee at the very end, you come to section 4, look at section 3, they never had a diversity and racial students liaison to the diversity committee. That should clearly fit under section 3. This section of the document has not been amended since that position was added to the assembly. And I think it should be disputed by the decisions that should have it here on those particular national.
Would anyone like to speak?
Motion to table.
Motion to table until the next meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor? It's clearly passes. This will be motion, and this will be tabled until the next meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
The adjourning meeting.
Can you comment on the timeline for committee applications? Can you comment on the timeline for committee applications?
Yeah, so I talked to the OA today with Pam, and the applications are open right now, so I am going to be talking with the committee chairs individually, where I'll be sending out a mass email to let them know that the committee applications are open. And also the questions on the applications have changed. Each committee chair was asked to put the questions that they want to put on the application, so they are uploaded to the OA website. So this is open, and I will be sending out an email to our MSA members about this too, so we can promote it.
Also, we have a new logo and this new branding this semester.
If you have questions about the products, I'm really happy to talk to you.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you.